Hey guys, how you doing? Welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. And I am, of course, Michael and the Trim Radio Network. So we're live, as always, when I do these shows. And then you can always come back and you can see them again. We have a lot of great shows on Trim Radio Network. Football shows, farming shows, conspiracy shows, just a great variety of stuff on there, how to plan for marketing and things to do. A great group of people. I'm really blessed to have these people on there. I know I look scruffy tonight, just so you know, but that's okay. Anyway, tonight, you know what? We're going to dive into, I'm going to go backwards to Genesis 6, the wickedness of the world. And we're going to read out of the NIV. Wonderful, you know, the New International Version, absolutely love the Bible. And, you have to remember, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a priest. I'm not clergy. I'm not a deacon. I'm no bishop. No, I'm, you know, I'm nobody. I'm just a guy that loves to read the Bible. It's open to interpretation. So it's open for reproof too. And the whole point is to get to know God. I call it the greatest true love story that is, and it's factual. It's backed up by science. It's backed up by artifacts. It's backed up by witnesses and people and everything else. And a lot of people don't realize that there's so much going on with it. And when they ask me, you know, why do you believe so much, or why do you care so much? Well, you know what? It's 66 books written by 40 different people over three continents and three different languages with, you know, 63,799 cross references, backed up with places, artifacts, and everything else. So all these accounts are in agreement, and these accounts, why everything might not be perfect, but it never changes the facts. It never changes the facts. And the Bible is here specifically for one thing. People are like, well, human hands have touched it. You could say that, but I always like to say that if our God, my God, who's outside of time, space, and matter, that created this world, created the universe, cannot protect his word or decide what he wants in, then we're in trouble. It's too small-minded for me to understand that. You want to say, okay, well, the book of Enoch was kept out, you know, these other books. Why? Well, my answer is simple. Did it focus on the two most important facts that there are? Does it further the interests of God and Christ? That's our focus here. That's the entire focus of the Bible, is to get to know God and get to know Christ and have a relationship, a spiritual relationship with them. And if you don't think you can protect the word or influence the people who it took over 200 years to canonize, this thing wasn't canonized by this person or that. No, it was all being put together way ahead of time. And it took a long time to do it. So you could say Tinsdale, you can say, you know, Constantine, you can say whoever you want, but that really wasn't the full canonization of the Bible. And you don't think that God can persuade man, direct man to exactly what books he wants in it? That's insane to me. He hardened Pharaoh's heart, knew exactly what he was going to do 10 different times with 10 different plagues. And not just him, all the way through the entire Bible, over and over and over again. I mean, what can't God do? That's the bigger question. What can't he do? So understand, that's why it is the number one bestseller, will always be that. Okay? the number one true story, the greatest book. And I'll tell you what, it's right here. All you have to do is read it. Christ was right. His yoke is easy. You have a choice. Take it, don't take it. But his yoke is easy. So the way I look at it is how you decide and how you choose. And I apologize for the dogs. I have an electrician coming here to do some stuff. But how you choose to use the information, that's entirely up to you. But you do have the end choice. So to me, it's a no-brainer. And I had this discussion today with a very good friend of mine. And he's like, well, if I'm going to stand up and be judged by God and then suffer for it anyway. And I'm like, wait a minute here. If you accept God, if you accept Christ, stop it, and you accept Christ, then your sins will be forgiven. Let me get rid of him real quick and let him out. You won't have these problems. And that's the one thing. He's like, well, what about the mountains and the sunsets and everything? Well, I look at that as these are earthly things. These things are going to pass away. They're not going to stay here. And he's thinking about here and now. And that's the problem that we have as human beings. We're thinking of here and now. But we're only here for the blink of an eye, for a limited small amount of time. These things mean nothing. If you think sunsets here are beautiful and mountains here are beautiful, can you only imagine what God's home is like? After all, he created this. He created the heavens. He created the earth. And if he creates every one of these magnificent sunsets and magnificent mountains, I can't even imagine how wonderful, how beautiful heaven is going to be. I mean, can you imagine the beauty and splendor there? So, but anyway, let's get into what is going on here in the wickedness of the world. And this is early Genesis, Genesis 6. When human beings began to increase in the number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of human beings were beautiful, and they married any one of them they chose. So who are these sons of God? A lot of people call them the watchers, which they were. They were supposed to be responsible of everything that was going on so that we're not making bad choices. But that's not what happened. Are they the fallen angels? Well, when Satan fell, he might have fallen to the earth, and Christ says he fell like lightning. But are they how giants appeared or everything like that? I don't know. I don't have an answer with that. I know there were giants. The Bible acknowledges there were giants, but I think it's irrelevant because it pulls you away again from the Word of God. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. So he's not going to tolerate. And when he says contend, he's not going to tolerate them. He put an age limit on us. So the days of when we're going to see Methuselah, for example, 69 years old, are done. Everything is going to taper down, 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 and down, and down. And if you look at today, which goes back again to proof and truth, I mean, most people, they live to their 80s or 90s, and that's about it. I always like to say there's like four or five stages of life. 0 to 20 is one stage, 20 to 40, 40 to 60, 60 to 80 and 80 to 100. Very few people live over 100 years old. And when they are, we celebrate it. You know, but he's limited him down to 120 years. And we know this. It's chapter 6, verse 3. And we know this. God is very clear about it. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. And they were the heroes of old, men of renown. So when you talk about these heroes and the different things, you notice it's not diving on who they were, who exactly were these heroes. Were they Greek heroes, Zeus, or whatever, or Apollo, or all these different things? It doesn't touch on that. It just says they were the heroes of old. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all of the time. All the time. From the time that we're born to the time that we die, that's what we are. We are evil. I mean, he's very clear about it. We're inclined to do evil things. It is just the way we are. And it's a shame. And some of us have compassion. It doesn't mean you don't. But we do evil things. And we have to face that. We have to own up to it. Every time. I mean, there's so many different examples that you can have of all the evil that we do. And when it hits you, you're like, well, I wouldn't consider that evil. Yeah, because you're thinking of a human mind, but you're not thinking of God's mind. And God's thoughts are above our thoughts. His thinking is above our thinking. His ways are above our ways. So what might seem unfair, unjust to you is just to God. And let's face it, this is his world, and he's created all things, including you and I, and you want to decide, you want to make the decision of what you feel is just and what is righteous? No way. It's not going to work. So here's another miscommunication, as I like to say, interpretation that people have. The Lord regretted that he had made the human beings on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So, a lot of people have said, so God did make a mistake. No, the Lord regretting that he had made human beings on earth is, he is sorrowed by our behavior. Because of the way that we are, because we create evil. That was never the intention when he put us on this earth. Understand something. He's very clear. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. The earth was perfect. Okay? It was perfect. It was beautiful. Everything was in harmony. And then we came along. And we did not do good, okay? We did not do good, and we've made a mess of it and everything else. And you'll notice the earth is a living structure. Just like you're a living being, I'm a living being, the earth is living. All of us are supposed to be in harmony, animals, earth, everything. And we're not. And why? Because we're not capable of it. You could go back and say to the other myth that I just love, well, it's Eve's fault because she ate the apple. There was no apple. It was fruit. And she wasn't Eve until later. She didn't become Eve until after she was beguiled by the serpent. And they were getting kicked out of Eden. Then Adam named her Eve, the mother of all. Okay? Before that, she was the woman. She was addressed as the woman. Adam wasn't Adam until it comes up. I want to say is Genesis 3:7. And understand that he was the man. So God was very clear on it. You know, man and a woman should, you know, cleave together. They become one and make a covenant with God, you know, for marriage. Didn't say Adam and Eve. Didn't say that at all. Said man and woman. So this regretting, like God made a mistake? No. Is he saddened by our behavior? Is he saddened by how we've made a mess of things? Yeah, because that was never the intention, but he already knew what was going to happen ahead of time. God knows all. So we're going to see, how is he going to handle all this? What is he going to do? And really, who's he going after? Is it really man or is it evil? It's evil. Okay? That's what this is. And how do we know it is? Because he said, the thoughts of human heart was only evil all the time. So it wasn't that God didn't love us. He loves us. He created us in his image. That is why he loves us. But the evil intentions, the evil inclinations that we have is on us. Is on us. But the scriptures will be fulfilled. And you'll see the links as they get carried on and carried on all the way up through the Bible. It's wonderful. You just got to peel back the layers and take a look. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So Noah was going to be the chosen one. He walked with God. He walked in God's thoughts. Noah wasn't swayed. Did he make mistakes along the way? I'm sure he did. We all do. David did. We know that. He did that with Bathsheba. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So we're going to have this flood. We know it's coming. But let's hear what God says. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. This is that choice that was made. Understand, the second the woman ate of the fruit, the knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was a choice. Whether she was beguiled or not, she knew not to do it. She was given an ordinance. She was given a statute. She was given a command. Don't eat of it. Don't go near it. And of course, she was suckered by the serpent, Satan. And she did eat of it. And then she handed some over to Adam, and he ate of it too. So the temptation, and this is why, you know, I had this discussion today. God does not tempt us. There's no temptation in God. God can't tempt us because temptation is evil. If temptation is evil, it's not with God. God has no evil in himself at all. So he has love, he has grace, he has mercy, he has forgiveness. But he does not have evil. He is the light. The light will overtake the darkness. The darkness cannot overtake the light. It cannot overcome the light. And we know that too. We know that as far back from here as we do to the New Testament. And Christ tells us that too. We see that in John. We see that in Matthew. We see it in Mark. So, God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all the people, for this earth is filled with violence. Because of them, I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. And this is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high, and make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening, 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all the life under the heavens. Now, when he's talking about the floodwaters, and we know these will come up from the ground, and science is now starting to back and see that there is more water below the earth than on the surface. And we're going to see how this bursts out and floods and then rains. This is going to be fast. When you're talking about the whole circumference of the earth, 6 months, whatever, is fast to cover the entire surface areas. So let's get to it. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark all of the living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, two of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. And Noah did everything as God had commanded him. So when you look at this, understand that everything in the Bible, and you're going to see it all the way through, it involves animals, it involves the earth, it involves everything. It's not just about us. So we can't try to be narcissistic here. It's about the whole thing, the whole natural living alive thing. Earth, animals, people. It's all of us together. It's all inclusive. Otherwise, why bring the animals on board? And then why go ahead and destroy everything and then bring about a new earth? Because when the waters recede, isn't that exactly what happens? So, let's see what happens next. Then the Lord said, Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of a bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive. Throughout the earth, 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth. 40 days and 40 nights, I will wipe from the very face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth. Let me repeat that. All the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heaven were open, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So we know the springs of the great deep burst forth. So that's the water that is below the earth that is more than the water that's on the earth, is what scientists are telling us today. It burst forth. It came up instantly on top of the rain that God was sending down. So the earth is going to be covered, and it's going to be covered fast. And we're seeing evidence of this all over the world. We could see the evidence of this all over the world. Not only of artifacts and everything that's found, but how the water rushed through. You ever just take a pitcher of water and pour it into sand, make a mountain of sand and pour it into sand, and watch how it carves out crevasses and cracks and crevices and everything else, spreads on out, leaves grooves everywhere, kind of like a Grand Canyon. Maybe some of the other places. Yeah, it's incredible. So we're seeing all these different proofs, and that's not the only one. That's just an example. And the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kind, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, every bird according to its kind, everything with wings, pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. And what is the breath of life? Well, God created man and breathed life into us. The same thing with the creatures. The same thing with everything that happened with the earth. So, the animals going in were male and female of every living thing as God had commanded Noah. And here we are again, that male and female. That's exactly how God intended everything to be. Then the Lord shut him in. No one in closed doors. The Lord shut him in. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on the land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, all mankind, everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Boy, there's another parallelism. God breathed into the nostrils and life for the man, for Adam. And everything on the earth was wiped out. People and animals and creatures that move along the ground, all the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Now, if you're thinking 150 days, 365 days in a year, and you have 150 days here, that water came up spectacularly fast. God's finger just pushed it along. And it's going to be a thorough job. We already know this. But that is the one interesting thing. Was God, you think God was cruel for doing that? For mankind worshiping other idols rather than God, or committing sins, having orgies, or crime, murder, robbing, stealing, and everything else. What about the injustice that we committed on earth the entire time and still do? What about that injustice? And people always tell me all the time, well, why would God give disease? Why would God do these things? He doesn't. And if you have something, what does God give you? He gives you the ability to understand it and how to overcome it, how to survive with it. And sometimes God will say no, and that's okay. He has his reasons. But it's not for us to decide. It's always been for him to decide. It's his world. Would you go into your friend's house, tear it apart, defile it, make a mess of it? And you don't think God has the right to test us while we're here on earth to make sure that we are prepared to come into his house, which is the holy of most holy places? Yeah, we have to be worthy. I would think so. After all, he did give his one and only son to have our sins forgiven, but he doesn't need a mess there either. Of course he's going to test us. Without a doubt. Look at the bad display that we already put on here that he flooded the world. And we're doing this constantly throughout the Bible. There is always, in the Bible, conflict and reconciliation. All the time. All the time. I mean, and as we go through it, we've seen that. So why would he trust us to go ahead and live here if we can't behave ourselves? Of course he's going to do what he did. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heaven had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month. On the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened a window and he had made in the ark and sent out a raven. And it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove couldn't find nowhere to perch because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and sent it out. And sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. We'll notice that olive trees, olive leaves, olive oil, all these different things, wonderful, you know? And you're going to see the significance of it. You ever tell your friend, you know what, here's my olive branch, I'm offering it to you. Everything can have all these different meanings to it. And that's the one greatest thing about the Bible. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and the creatures that move along the ground, all the birds, everything that moves on land came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of the clean animals and clean birds. He sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." But God makes it clear here, right? The human heart is evil from childhood. That ends that myth that people say, "Oh, that's not true." Well, there it is. That's Genesis 8. So we look at that and we can say, okay, all right, I guess that is, Genesis 8, 21. Yeah, okay, I understand that. I get that now. But he still knows that man has that evil in him. I mean, Noah's human. Shem, Japheth, Ham, their wives, Noah's wife, everyone has that evil in them. Human beings. We have it in us. It pours out of us daily. We do our best to keep it in check. We needed Christ to save us so that we could be forgiven for all of our sins and have it blotted out. I call him my attorney. He's my attorney. Bring it up with my attorney. The bottom line is it still doesn't change what we are. Still evil. So are you. So is everybody else. You can say what you want. I don't care how many times you read the Bible. It doesn't change what we are. Trying to change ourselves, we can't do it without God. And understand that. God picks us and he knows what we are. He knows he's getting a bad deal right away. We are a bad bet. We're a bad deal. He knows this. He knew this with the disciples. He knew this with so many different things. But he loves us. He created us in his image. He loves us. He forgives us. He's shown more than enough mercy and grace to us, way more than what we deserve. But we're not going to change our stripes. We're not going to change our spots. So, listen, guys, with that, I'm getting off a little bit early tonight. Usually I stay on for a full hour, but I do have some workmen here at the house tonight. I just want to leave you with one thought. You're not losing anything by believing in Christ, by following Christ, by having a spiritual relationship with Christ. Understand something. If I'm wrong, I've wasted time. That's it. Time that's fleeting anyway. If I'm right, I don't have to worry about time ever again. Never. What have you got to lose that you're so stuck here that you don't know? You think that only this matters. You got to think past that. Get your mind past that and start thinking of what's after here. Focus on that. Don't focus on what you can see. Focus on what you can't see. It's going to take you farther in life because it is life. Love y'all. I hope you have a great week. Be good to one another. Be kind to one another and love one another. And I will see you next week. Take care.